From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to the show. It's 8:06. If you're listening live, if you're listening on the podcast, I could take a couple guesses, but I wouldn't be right. It could be any time. I can't possibly tell. I'm not a mind reader. Okay, we have a super fun thing that we like to do every night around this time. Don't hit it yet, Matt. We do a news roundup. And what news roundup is, basically, is you can't listen to every show that we have on the air in Cairo every single day. You would literally be listening 24 hours a day. And as fun as that sounds, I promise you, it would kill you because you can't go through life without sleeping. You have to sleep at some point. So it's impossible to listen to everything we have on the air. That's why we go back in and we cut up things from earlier shows and we play it here. It's your opportunity to listen to all the shows. Listen to the best stuff. We just pull the best stuff and we boil it down to, everybody has like 3 hours. We boil it down to 2 minutes, and that's what you get from these other shows. 2 minutes of their show, so you don't have to listen to 3 hours of it, which sounds wrong. That doesn't sound right. But Lisa Brooks is here to have fun with us. Lisa, thank you.
Looking forward to it.
Matt is always on the board, ready
always
to go.
A pleasure.
Having fun. Matt, thank you for hanging. And why don't we get in the news roundup? Now hit the thing.
I'm heading for the last roundup.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it? I love something about me, guys, you may not know. You probably have guessed it by now. I love old cowboy music. Gene Autry.
Robbins.
Marty Robbins. Thank you, Matt.
Hank Williams.
Hank Williams, yeah. Oh, there's something about it that's just so relaxing, and it's exactly what you want it to be.
That would be the Western in country and Western.
The Western and country Western, yeah. Do you like country Western music?
One of my first radio jobs in Seattle was at a country station, and I learned to like a lot of it.
Yeah, I love it. I love pop country. I'm a huge fan. I love old country. I love old AM station country music when you're like driving across the country and you
pick
up weird stuff. It just sounds good. It's just something about it. Just like speaks right to your soul. I can't explain it. All right, let's get into the news roundup on Seattle's Morning News. Oh, another thing you guys should know about this, and I always forget to tell you until right before we play the clips. I haven't heard these. Lisa probably hasn't heard them. Matt puts this whole thing together. This is the most popular part of the show, and he produces it, and he does a great job at it. And it's because we don't listen to them, and then we get to react to them with you as you're hearing it too. So you give your reactions to us. You can text us, 888-973-5476. If it's particularly brilliant text, I might even read it on the air. Or if it's not, I'll ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. Okay, so let's get to Seattle's Morning News. Dave Ross just returned from a Canadian vacation, and he has some ideas about what Seattle needs more of. What are those things, Dave? Tell us all about it.
I can report that when it comes to the natural setting, the hotels and the restaurants, the history, I think Seattle can hold its own with any of the cities we visited. Just two areas of concern. Graffiti. Canada has much better control of it than we do. And the more serious concern, old fairy tale buildings. Seattle doesn't have nearly enough. We have an incomparable natural setting, but where Canada has us beat is charming old fairy tale buildings. Now, if I was comparing us with Europe, of course, you expect European cities would have more charming old fairy tale buildings. But I'm comparing us to Canada, which got started about the same time we did, and yet they have way more fairy tale old buildings. For example, Chateau Frontenac in Quebec City, which looks like a Disney castle. You can't...
What do you call it? Chateau Frontenac?
Frontenac.
Chateau. All right, that makes sense. It's French. I think it's Chateau Frontenac. That didn't make any sense.
Not visit that place and buy a gelato on your way out. And here's the secret. It may look medieval, but it was never an actual castle. It was built in 1892 by the Canadian National Railway to look like a medieval castle. Why? So that people would buy train tickets to stay there.
Like, have you seen Hearst Castle? Have you guys seen Hearst Castle?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I love it.
So that wasn't built like a super long time ago. It's not like a medieval castle, but it's very cool. What is that park called in Vancouver? What is it called?
Stanley Park
is a great place. My wife and I used to go up there a lot, pretty often before we had kids because it was just a quick jaunt. couple hours here in Canada, which was really fun. Felt very very international. We did a bike ride once on a tandem bike. Do you guys ever ride tandem bikes?
I tried to avoid them.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good instinct. So we rode. We checked into a bike place and we said, "Hey, we want to ride on the bikes." And they said, "Well, we close in an hour." There's a big lake or something there, or harbor. I don't know what it is. Probably a harbor. And there's a trail that goes around it, but it's like it's pretty long. It's
a big park.
A distance, yeah. And so we were feeling ambitious, and again, we had no kids, and so we said, "Yeah, let's jump on this tandem bike, and we can just haul around this thing. We can do it in an hour." And the problem was, if you don't get the bike back in an hour, you buy that bike. They're going to charge you for it too, because you have to give them your credit card when you sign in. And I don't know how much a tandem bike is, but it looked pretty expensive. It looked pretty pricey. So we get on the thing and we start riding. And I'm realizing a few minutes into this ride that like this trail is way further than I thought it was going to be, like many, many, many miles. And I think it ended up being like a 13-mile ride or something like that.
In an hour?
Crazy. In an hour, which is doable on a bike if you're going really fast. My wife, girlfriend at the time, now wife, she was in the back and I'm in the front just providing all of the power in the engine. And she's just having a great time just sitting in the back doing nothing, not caring that we weren't going to get the bike back in time. So we finally get it back and I'm all sweaty. But I think I earned her love and affection on that ride. And it's a beautiful park. It's really gorgeous.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Have you been to Montreal?
Montreal?
Montreal.
Yeah, it's French. I don't know if you knew.
Yeah.
I have not.
Okay.
No.
Or Quebec City. Dave was talking about Quebec City.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Quebec or Quebec?
Quebec.
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 Okay. Also French.
Also French. And they have the old city, which is beneath where the big hotel is from the 1700s, I believe.
Oh, wow.
And you can tour a lot of these old houses, and many of them are turned into shops.
Is it underground, like Seattle?
No.
Oh, so
no.
It's
up, the hotel is on a hill, and the
okay.
Quebec City is beneath that.
And that sounds lovely.
Beautiful, beautiful, and very historic, and very fairy tale like, and very picturesque.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to check it out. I like that. That sounds nice. I have some family that lives up in that area, actually. We haven't visited, so I should go to Quebec.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've probably heard enough of Seattle's morning news. Gee and Ursula, let's see what they had. Chef had a revelation about a prominent pop star, and he's apologizing to their fans. Do tell.
Here's the thing. I can't get away from Taylor Swift, and it irks me. But I realize I've also been kind of a jerk about it, because I've heard her from 20 years. I can't get away from her. I'm annoyed that there's a billion-dollar ecosystem that pumps out all this breathless coverage of her every move, and I'm supposed to care. I'm annoyed at her elaborately choreographed, hyper-constructed, I'm just the girl next door image. Yes, Taylor, the girl next door with $1 billion. You're just like us. I was annoyed, Ursula, when people like you and Mickey would come up all breathless to me and be like, "Did you hear Taylor donated to local food banks and they didn't even want anyone to know about it?" I'm like, yes, of course she wanted us to know about it. How did you hear about it? I was annoyed when, you know, I saw that, hey, she's giving, you know, bonuses to everyone that works on her tour. Good for her, Taylor. Well, I know.
$100,000.
Yeah. I know what a pay for positive PR campaign looks like. And then I also realized, you know what? There's not a lot of bosses who would do that, regardless of how much money you're making or how famous you are, and it's okay. So here's the thing. I just feel like people have been trying to push this Taylor Swift agenda on me, and it's like Taylor Swift just in my face all of the time, and I can't stand it. But here's the thing. That's what people say about the rainbow flags. And just perhaps I should follow my own advice to those people. When you have to see it, maybe you could just move on because it doesn't affect your life at all. And maybe, just maybe, I shouldn't crap all over something that's a positive influence on a lot of people's lives and brings them a lot of joy just because I'm annoyed by its presence. Here's the thing. While I'm not a fan and I'm not going to be a fan, I can't name one song. I was thinking about the pantheon of pop stars and influencers and like reality show celebrities that our kids look up to. And Taylor Swift is probably one of the least malign influences I can possibly think of. She might, in fact, actually be a positive influence on the world. So if you are a Taylor Swift fan out there and you have been irked by my annoyance with Taylor Swift, I apologize. She seems okay. I just don't want to have to hear about her boyfriend.
Who's your guys' favorite pop star? If you could meet one pop star, Matt, you could hang out with it. It doesn't have to be a pop star. It could be a rock star. Any time period. Obviously, Chef would hang out with Taylor Swift. If you could hang out with anyone in the history of music, who would it be?
The history of music. That I could go all night with that one.
Well, I'll don't try do to it. Keep try, it to, try to make it in 5 seconds.
Bruce Springsteen.
Springsteen?
Definitely. I love the way he writes.
He's still alive. Yes, that could actually happen.
I could actually do that.
Yeah.
For sure. I love his perspectives.
Lisa,
he's coming to town on Thursday, and I can't go because I have to be here.
Who is it?
Sting.
Oh, Sting?
He's going to be here. He's going to be at Climate Pledge Arena.
Oh, man.
And I've never met him, and I would love to meet him.
You would love to meet Sting?
Yes, please.
Yeah. All right, you're just putting it out there. Do you find him to be an attractive man?
He has his moments.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic songwriter. I want to talk to him about songwriting.
You're both interested in songwriting.
Yeah.
That's definitely interesting to me. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. He's into something called the tantric.
This poor guy is never going to get away from that. That happened, what, like 20 years ago? He's a yoga guy.
He's still tantricking. It's been 20 years and he's still.
Wellness is important.
He just holds out for a long time.
Gosh.
But when. I was kidding. What a dumb thing to say.
I love Chef's point on this. It's like, especially when I was younger, I was really into really obscure and eclectic and imported music. And it was kind of my identity. It was the place I found comfort. But I think that's good to remember is with things that sometimes people find really popular, even if it's not your thing, whether it's Legos or Taylor Swift or whatever it is, if it's harmless and somebody finds joy and inspiration in it, I think that's worth celebrating.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Sure. Yeah, I could see celebrating.
What about you?
So Bruce Springsteen for you, Sting for you. Mm-hmm. If I had to pick one pop star from any time period to hang out with, this is tough. There's just one name that keeps bouncing around in my head, though. I would probably want to meet Sinatra.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would be
great. I think I would want to meet Frank Sinatra and Junior, not Senior. Frank Sinatra Jr. No, I'm just kidding. Obviously, I'm kidding.
Why?
Nobody wants to meet Frank Sinatra Jr. No, Frank Sinatra Sr., obviously. And I don't know. He just seems like a cool guy. You don't need to even explain it. Just Sinatra. Done. You know? But Sting would be good. Sting would be good. Bruce Springsteen to a lesser extent for me. But whatever. Everybody's different. And you can all have your different things. Jack and Spike, they were inspired by a story about a firefighter who was making $18 an hour, and he parachutes into forest fires. My cousin actually used to do this job. I'll tell you about that in a second. Let's hear what Jack and Spike had to say about it.
The pay bump for the hotshot squads, those are the folks that the most aggressive firefighters. There's a federal pay increase that was implemented in 2021 that expires on September 30th. Now, these guys are seasonal workers most times, and they make less than $20,000 a year. And we're asking them to go out and do some of the most dangerous jobs and difficult jobs in American the federal workforce.
Right.
So, I mean, why can't we allocate funds if we're going to waste so much money of our federal dollars on so many things that we don't need? If we got a $1.2 trillion jet that won't fly, whatever the numbers are, we hear all these ridiculous numbers that are being spoon-fed to military contractors.
What jet? Do you guys know what jet he's talking about? No. Okay.
And yet the Forest Service, which protects natural resources, and so many of our homes are being built into and infringing upon forests and whatnot.
Can I give you the long answer on this?
Sure.
A large portion of the United States economy is propped up artificially by weapons contracts so there's a lot of companies out there that are publicly traded, and they get contracts. They get sweet government contracts. And this artificially inflates the American economy. So people say, well, why don't we have money for this? Or why don't we have money for that? Or whatever it is. There are corn subsidy.
I want to get to my story about my cousin. So my cousin was he worked for Cal Fire. His name is Danny. He's still a firefighter. Hey, Danny, if you're listening. And he would do this crazy job. And what these guys would do, they would literally go up to, especially seasonally, like Cal Fire up in like the Tahoe and Big Bear area. They would fly up in helicopters and they would have to fight. They were landing in certain areas, and then they would disperse and they would cut fire trails and, you know, try to protect the area.
Did they just drop in with an axe or something? I mean, or a chainsaw?
Chainsaws, axes, things like that. And, you know, like a big bucket of water and all the stuff that they would need, radios and stuff.
super interesting job. Like they were saying, though, it's a very seasonal job. And so during the summertime and then into long summers, especially down in that part of California, you know, that's really intense work and really interesting and scary work, too, like really scary. But really fascinating. He's like my cousin's I think he's a third generation firefighter in that part of the family. So it's pretty cool. Really cool, actually. So good job, firefighters out there. We didn't have time to get to the end of that clip. Let's see what John and Sherry were talking about. John was offered an EV recently at the rental counter. Let's hear how that went.
I went to get a car the other day in Santa Rosa, and the guy said, Mr. Curley, are you familiar with EV? Are you okay with an EV? I said, no. And he goes, okay. He goes to the drawer. He finds me a set of keys. I said, how many people say no to the EV? He said, almost everyone. Because you just don't know the streets. You don't know. You're not familiar with the area. You don't know where the charging areas are. You don't need that sort of trouble. Just give me a car, point A to point B. Let me bring it home.
Especially when you're in an area that you're not familiar with. I mean, why would you ever take that chance? The thing that surprised me was that one person in this article said it was really hard to drive. It was like learning to drive again. I didn't think there was any difference in terms of the drivability of it, but just in the charging of it. And Hertz, by the way, is going to be getting 300,000 cars from Tesla and from other places, General Motors, to add to their fleet. And there just isn't the infrastructure for EVs yet. Why can't we just admit that?
Because it's the cart before the horse. It's the car before the infrastructure. And they're going to force these cars on you.
I thought he said the carpet for the horse. He said the cart before the horse.
Yes.
That makes more sense. Have you guys ever taken an EV road trip?
No.
No. Would you ever take an EV road trip?
I think when the infrastructure is ready, that's going to be the way we're all going to go.
But right now, it'd be like taking a train on tracks that don't exist.
Right.
Yes. I would, depending on where I was going. Like, I know I spent a great deal of my career in Minnesota, and I know that they kind of have a network now where you can drive from the Twin Cities up to the northern parts, which are very touristy, and they do have enough stations. So if I knew the stations were likely to cover it, I probably would.
We just did a story last hour. The Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, took a rather infamous EV road trip to highlight EV travel, and it did not go well. Because her car was unable to charge because it was really inconsistent to find charging stations. And then it got even worse because a news story spread that apparently her team was going ahead of her in gas-powered vehicles and blocking the charging stations from people being able to use them because the energy secretary would be making her way up the road.
Wow.
And they actually blocked one station so adamantly that a family pulled up with a screaming infant in the car with a low battery charge, and the energy secretary's aides were essentially blocking it and wouldn't let them to the station in a gas-powered vehicle. So the people in the EV were like, we need to charge our car. We have an infant. We got to be on the road. But there was nowhere else for them to charge. And so they ended up calling 911. They called the police, and there was a big mix-up, and they ended up having to, you know, get it figured out. But and that's the energy secretary. So clearly the infrastructure is not even close to being ready.
Not yet.
And so, you know, obviously when it is, I'm a huge fan of less cost for gas and cheaper travel. I'm all about it. But it has to work. If it doesn't work, then what are you even doing? Okay, this was fun. This was News Roundup. Thank you guys so much. Lisa, appreciate you coming in. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. I read a story on the Daily Mail that kind of caught my eye because it had a number one of the most probably famous entertainers in the world in the headline. Do you guys know who Cher is? To be honest, I don't even know what Cher's last name is. That's how famous she is. If anybody knows what Cher's last name is, can you let me know? Because I don't know. 888-973-5476. I know that she was teamed up with Sonny Bono for a long time. I think they were even married and maybe had some kids. But I don't know who Cher's last name is. Is it Bono? Is it Cher Bono? That can't be right. Anyway, if you know Cher's last name, let me know on the text line. If you don't know who Cher is, let me introduce you to her. Do you believe?
I can feel something.
this is obviously not her only hit. This is probably her most recent big hit. And I'm trying to think, what was another song that Cher had? She had that one that was on Groundhog Day. What was that song called on Groundhog Day? Anybody? Text me. Text me, please. 888-973-5476. She sang it with Sonny Bono. It was I Got You, Babe. That's it. Don't text me. I figured it out. Okay, so Cher, she also gives great performances. My wife and her mother went to go see Cher live, and they said it was one of the best shows they've ever been to. So that was a lot of fun. Great performer. Apparently, some court records have been unsealed, and Cher, here's the reason she's in the news and the reason I'm even talking about it. Cher hired four men to kidnap her son Elijah from a New York City hotel where he was trying to reconcile with his wife, court documents reveal. There's also some photos they have of the musicians kind of strung out and not doing so great at Chateau Marmont in Los Angeles, where I think he was living for a number of months. Staff were worried because they said he was having some, it appeared he was having some substance issue problems. And then there was some rehab talk and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, Cher said, hey, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to go kidnap my son if I need to, pull him out of a bad situation. I'm a parent. I get it. Parents are going to do what they need to, even if their kids are adults. Parents are going to do what they need to protect their kids. You never stop being a parent, no matter how old your kid gets. You never stop being a parent. But it reminded me of another story that I had heard about. And I was reading about, I don't know, a couple years ago, I heard this story. I thought it was just fascinating. Do you guys know who Doris Day is? Yes? No? Yes? Yes? No? Here she is.
Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be?
This is a song called, we'll get to it in a second in the chorus, but it's called Que Sera Sera. Made really famous in a movie she was in.
Que Sera Sera.
Anybody guess?
Whatever will be.
No, the movie was not called Que Sera Sera, although that would fit. They did a lot in the 60s. She was in a movie called The Man Who Knew Too Much with Jimmy Stewart. Really fantastic movie. It was a Hitchcock movie. I highly recommend it. I also recommend the farcical comedic version with Bill Murray called The Man Who Knew Too Little. You should check that out as well, but it has nothing to do with the story, so we don't need to talk about that here. The reason I'm talking about Doris Day right now is because, like Cher protecting her adult son, Doris Day did something similar in the 1960s, which I found fascinating. Okay, so I'm going to try to explain the timeline here. In the 1960s, there was a very popular band called the Beach Boys. Do you guys remember them?
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon your hair.
All right, of course you remember the Beach Boys. This is Good Vibrations. Brian Wilson. He's a genius. Animal sounds, right? Pet sounds? Animal sounds? What was it? Pet sounds? All right, so why are we playing Good Vibrations? So, the Beach Boys in the 1960s were huge, and obviously they were the center of attention. Everybody loved them, and they were super famous. One of their friends was a music producer named Terry Melcher. Terry Melcher was the son of Doris Day, and Terry Melcher was hanging out with the Beach Boys. One of the Beach Boys was a guy named Dennis Love. He was the brother of Mike Love. Mike Love is the lead singer of the Beach Boys. And Mike Love had a book recently come out. And he was talking in his book about this strange thing that happened with his brother Dennis and Terry Melcher and Doris Day. So Dennis Wilson was hanging around in the 1960s because he was famous. There's a lot of hangers-on, obviously, with fame, and they sometimes get into interesting situations. One of those hangers-on was a young guy who had aspired to be a musician but wasn't very good, but he did have a certain it quality that attracted a certain type of a person, and he was surrounded by a lot of like very dutiful, doughy-eyed young girls, which then attracted a bunch of famous guys like Dennis Wilson and all those other guys. This crazy young guy was a guy named Charlie Manson, and he really wanted to be a famous musician. It wasn't in the stars for him. He wasn't going to be a famous musician. He would be famous for other things, obviously. So he's hanging out with Dennis Wilson around this time. Dennis Wilson's also friends with Terry Melcher. Terry Melcher was a music producer. Charles Manson wanted to be famous, so Dennis Wilson introduces Charles Manson to Terry Melcher, the music producer, who also happens to be the son of Doris Day. Terry Milcher, very quickly, because he's a good music producer, very successful, decides, no, Manson doesn't have it, but still hangs around with him because he's an interesting guy. And this is before they did all their crazy stuff. They're just living out on the Spahn Ranch, kind of hippie types, just doing weird things. And lots of girls, lots of drugs, all the stuff you can imagine being kind of an enticing situation. Anyway, so Terry Milcher, who's very close with his mom, Doris, decides to tell her about what is going on out at Spahn Ranch. And Doris Day decides, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I think my son's going to get into a bad situation. So she drives out to his house. And he lived at the time in a house called, this is not a house called. The address of the house was 10050 Cielo Drive in Benedict Canyon. And that address might ping something in your ear. And if it does, it's because that's where the Tate murders happened. So Doris Day drives out to the house and she says, Terry, get your stuff. I'm not paying for this house anymore that I'm renting for you. You're moving into another one of my homes. And she forces him to leave. She's pulling him out of a bad situation. She doesn't want him to have anything to do with Charles Manson or his friends. Good job, Doris Day. 8 months later, Charles Manson rolls back up to that house and finds Sharon Tate and those people there. And the rest is a really sad, horrible history. But isn't it interesting? Doris Day, Cher, they both have something in common. And did she save her son's life that night? She might have, because if he had fallen in with that crowd any deeper, who knows what would have happened. Anyway, that's a very crazy story. I just thought you guys would enjoy it.
Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be?
All right, we got a lot more coming up on Cairo Nights.
Will I be rich?
Stick around.
I tell them tenderly. Hey, set off, set off. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not
ours. You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to the show. We have a really interesting guest coming up next hour, the top of the hour. His name is Mike Asai. He's a local business owner, entrepreneur. He's in Seattle. He made some news last week because after the Seattle City Council passed that 6-3 vote, essentially finally giving power back to the city attorney's office to actually prosecute drug crimes, Shama Sawant stood up and gave kind of the kind of speech you would assume she would give. And he then, unprompted and unplanned, he was just there in attendance to see that they passed this vote. And he stood up and said, and basically said, hey, enough of this. You guys have to clean up the city. We can't live in the city like this anymore. You guys need to do this. And he was so passionate. We reached out to him, and he agreed to come on our show. And I just thought it would be a really interesting guy to talk to. So he's going to come on with us next hour. So stick around for that. But right now, I want to play you a quick clip. Do you guys know who Bill Maher is? He hosts, obviously, he has that show on HBO that he's had forever. And he also does this podcast called Club Random. This actually looks really fun. And he just sits around with his friends and they drink cocktails and they smoke and they just talk about politics or whatever. Matt, have you seen it? Have you seen clips of this?
I have. I've actually regularly listened to that podcast. It's fun.
Yeah, it looks like a fun time. Not as fun as Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim, but pretty fun. If we could add cocktails and I don't smoke, but if we could add cocktails, that'd be a blast. But we can't because we're on the radio. But Bill Maher can, because it's a podcast, and he can do whatever he wants at his own house, which is where it's filmed. So he was talking with James Carville. James Carville is the Raging Cajun, a super political guy. He was talking, the two of them were talking about politics, and they stumbled upon a conversation about President Biden and what they should be doing about President Biden as the next election gets closer.
Let's assume the election was November the 3rd of this year.
This also sounds like they're kind of late in the podcast at this point because it sounds like they've had a few. But you guys could be judged for yourself. But it sounds like a good time.
And they said the candidates are Joe Biden, the Democrat, Donald Trump, the Republican, Joe Manchin and Larry Hogan, No Labels, and Cornel West. Trump would be a betting favorite.
Yes.
If I told you totally. I would give you even money, you would not take that bet. All right. And so somebody better wake the lock up. I might take even money.
You can hear Bill Maher there. I don't know what you think about his politics, but these just sound like I would actually want to hang out with these guys and just have a drink with them. This sounds like a blast. Bill Maher, I think he's got a cigarette in his lips. I can't be sure about that. I think he's smoking something, and he's also at the same time sounds like he's maybe a couple in, and he's trying to finagle his way through a martini shaker and not having super great luck with it.
But you're right. I'm totally on the same page. And I think I talked to Paul Begala today.
I think
we're on the same page with Biden. Did a great service. But whereas in 2020, maybe he was the only one who could have beaten Trump, I think now he's the only one who will lose to him. He did great. Not just because he beat Trump, but a lot of stuff he did, Afghanistan, Ukraine, he handled right. Everybody else's economy was worse than ours after the pandemic. These are some pretty big things, but he will lose because at some point perception becomes reality. And look, do I think he can do the job? Absolutely. Government, as you well know better than anybody, is done in small rooms like the Oval Office where people are talking quietly and decisions are made. I think he still can do that fine. He cannot run for president. He'll look bad in the debates. It's too much. And he's I think, going to lose. He will be Ruth Bader Biden, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg of the presidency. It's not a good look.
Not a good look, he says, as he pours another drink. That's a fun podcast. If you haven't listened to it, you might enjoy it. Let's see what else here. Oh, yeah, really quick before we have to get out of here. This was kind of an awkward moment. Did you hear Biden the other day? He was trying to introduce LL Cool J at an awards ceremony. He was at the 2023 Phoenix Awards in Washington, D.C., and he was giving out an award to a couple of longtime, very successful entertainers. And I don't think he's ever heard of LL Cool J.
Two of the great artists of our time representing the groundbreaking legacy of hip-hop.
Also, I think his team puts him in a situation where they're trying to make him sound like he's rapping. Don't do that to this guy. Come on. Just don't do it to him.
Two of the great artists of our time representing the groundbreaking legacy of hip-hop in America, LL Cool J. By the way, that boy's got... That man's got biceps bigger than my thighs. I think he's... And MC Light, both of you, thank you. Because they're both have the light off on the mic, you know, you're all here to listen to the New Edition.
Oh, boy. Okay, so Charlemagne the God, he's a very famous radio host. He hosts a very successful radio show on the BET network. Also, he's
Breakfast got a Club.
Big Breakfast Club. Yeah, podcast and everything, too. He had something to say about this little statement he made about LL Cool J. I'm not sure he caught it there, but Charlemagne certainly did.
Talk here today for Monday, September 25th, goes to the 46th president of the United States of America, Joe Biden. A lot of people are upset that Joe Biden referred to LL Cool J as a boy. As you can hear, he corrected himself on the spot. You know why Joe Biden corrected himself? Because he's 137 years old. He fully understands the word boy in the racial context around a white man referring to a black man as boy. See, boy is absolutely a white racist word when used in a certain context. It doesn't matter how many black people you have in your administration. Doesn't matter how many black people you have right for you. If it's not authentic to him, then it won't come off as authentic to anyone. Okay, y'all keep trying to make this 197-year-old man sound cool simply because he's talking to black people, and there's nothing more uncool than someone trying too hard to be cool. What's that quote? Don't try too hard to be cool. It always shows, and that's uncool. Yes, that is President Joe Biden.
I don't know if he's 197, though. That's pretty old. He's not quite there yet. But yeah, interesting comment there. We have a ton of stuff to get to in the next hour, guys. I can't believe we're already through 2 hours, and that's a great success. So thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.